Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Brought to you each and every weekday morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. And today we're going to talk about firefighters and fire safety. But we all know that firefighters have to be pretty physically fit. And so today I have with me Stephen Peters, who's a Quincy firefighter, but he's soon going to be, he's already been selected for, America Ninja Warriors.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
Tell us about what's going to happen.
Oh, my goodness. Well, geez, I could talk all day about this, so I'll try to give you the quick version here. But I've been trying to get on this show for over seven seasons now. Seven seasons been trying to get on the show and had a lot of help and support from a lot of people here on the fire department, a lot of friends and family. And we kept trying and kept trying, and you learn a few things, and we kept trying different things to put into the application video, and gosh darn it, this year something just happened, everything just fell right into place, and I've been one of 240 people that got selected for season 17 of American Ninja Warriors. So yeah, couldn't be happier. Finally paid off.
Now, have you already done this and you just can't talk about it, or is this something you're still yet to do?
I can talk a little bit about it, yes. So the filming for the show has actually already occurred. So I went out to Las Vegas just recently, and I got to participate on the show. And so I'm not allowed to talk about the obstacles, who I saw out there, what exactly happened. But yeah, I was out there. I got to do all the interviews and the green screen, and then we got to do a walkthrough of the course, and it was fantastic, yeah, to be able to, you see it on television all the time, and then to actually be there in person, you're like, oh, wow, this is this is a little bit bigger, and it's a little crazier in person. But yeah, we were, took me and my family out there, and just had an amazing time. We couldn't be happier, but, all this time and effort that we put into this, we finally were able to get on the show. So it was just kind of a nice way to, celebrate and, just shows that, if you kind of keep trying and you'd be a little stubborn, that's kind of a polite way of putting it, you just kind of just keep going for it, and you'd be surprised how far you can get with things when you keep going for it like that.
That's a great lesson and attitude to have about everything in our life. Well, Stephen Peters can't tell us if he won or how far he got in the show, but the great thing about it is when I look at you, you're kind of tall and lanky. You're not certainly muscle-bound. Of course, you fully clothed in a over jacket and everything. I'm sure you're quite muscular, but is it strength? Is it agility? Is it your brain?
Yes.
I mean,
that's the short answer. Yeah. So it's an interesting sport because there's not really one person that really fits the mold. So if you look at basketball, for example, it's a lot of taller people. If you look at swimming, it's people that have like a long arm span. Ninja Warrior is kind of an odd thing because it's a lot about body to weight ratio, your body to strength ratio. So you can have some people that are really, really tall and quite muscular, and they got the strength to make up for that weight. But also you got these people that are like, maybe like 130 pounds, and they excel something at it just, amazingly, because they just have this amazing body to weight, strength ratio. They may not be able to lift too much, but when their body weight is at the lower end of things, they can just fly through these obstacles like it's not a big deal. So, it's a really, really inclusive sport. You can, doesn't matter, male, female, short, tall, you can have just about anybody participate in the sport. Like, we have people that are, I think one of the oldest people, I'll give you a little bit of a snippet of the show here, but I believe one of the people that we had on the show, he had been on the show 10 times already, and this person is well into his 60s. And I was talking to this individual, and they're like, yeah, I originally wasn't going to be on the show this year. And they had a cancellation at the last minute, so they called him up, and he couldn't be more thankful. And I asked him if he was planning on winning it this year. He's like, no, I don't think it's 60 years old that he was going to win. But that kind of the mentality of the sport is like, people have been asking me, well, are you going to win it? Are you going to win? It's like asking somebody, if they want to enter a marathon, well, are you going to win the marathon? It's like, no, like, but just being there, participating in it, and that's kind of part of the accomplishment. There was tens of thousands of applications for this season, and I was selected out of just, 240 people. So I couldn't have been more thrilled just to be one of those 240 people that got selected. There's been years that they've had up to 80,000 applications. So to just be part of that group, to say that I made it on the show, I couldn't be more thankful.
Well, we're excited that you're bringing some recognition to the Quincy Fire Department,
I'm sure,
too. Being physically fit is obviously kind of a byproduct in a way of being a firefighter. If you want to do your job well, you have to do that well. I must admit that I watch American Ninja Warrior, usually not from top to finish. I kind of am a channel surfer. But there's no one course. So, like, if I go play football, I know the field's 100 yards,
yep,
and the sidelines are so far, and the field goal is so far. Baseball's a little bit different. Everybody, the Green Monster in Fenway and
yes, exactly,
Chicago Field, yeah, with the ivy on the wall at Wrigley. But there's no real course,
mm-hmm,
for Ninja Warrior. It's whatever the weirdo thing they can come up with next, right?
That's exactly right. And you have no idea what you're going to be competing on. So you don't get to see the course until the day of. And you don't get to practice on it. That's kind of part of the challenge, is like, all right, everyone, here's the walkthrough. Here's what you can and can't do. Here are the rules. Now stand over here for a couple of hours, and then we'll call you up. And okay, oh, right, 3, 2, 1, here's your 2 minutes to compete on the course. Go. So that's kind of part of the sport, is you get one shot. You know, you get this one opportunity to go for it. And, sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't. And that's kind of what makes it great, is like, this isn't a guarantee. You don't know if you're going to do well or not on the show. And so having that aspect to it kind of just like it raises the intensity. And when good things do happen on the show, it just makes it that much better. An example I like to use in, like, say, football, basketball, if you have a bad play, something doesn't turn out okay, it's okay, we can make it up. There's 4 quarters to go here. We got time to make this up. Ninja Warrior, it's like if you make a mistake, like, you're in the water and you're done. So that kind of just adds to it a little bit. I kind of like to compare it a little bit to the Olympics. By the way, the Olympics is on a far another level. So I'm not trying to, compare it too much to the Olympics. But what I mean by that is these people train and train and train for years and years. And then maybe it's like the 50 meter dash. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. And it's like, well, all right, that was it. 4 years of training was all for that quick moment. And Ninja Warrior kind of has a little bit of that same aspect to it. You got these people that really take this sport seriously. And then it comes down to this moment. It's like, all right, you're on the course. It's your time to shine. Go for it. And it's like, wow. And it can go great. And 2 or 3 minutes later, it can be amazing. You know, you hit that buzzer. You're on top of the wall. Everything's great. Or, you fall in the water and you're just done. So it's like that, but that kind of what makes it great is there's no guarantees to this, you know. So, yeah, it's got a lot of cool aspects to it. It's a really great sport.
Firefighter Stephen Peters from the Quincy Fire Department, my guest today. We will talk fire safety, but I'm fascinated by this. I knew there was a firefighter that was doing this. So I just didn't know. How did you get interested in this, and where do you train and who makes, you can't have all these weirdo things you do. So it has to, I mean, how do you train for this? How long ago, let me rephrase that. I'm a professional, folks. Don't try this at home. How in the world did you get interested in this? And where do you go to say, I'd like to do that? I'd like to swing from a thing and jump over bouncy things. And, where do you go to even get started on something like that?
Well, I have to give credit to a good friend of mine, Scott Hayden, on the Quincy Fire Department. There's this event called the Tough Mudder. It's a 12-mile military-style obstacle course. And he comes to me one day, and he's like, I got this crazy idea. And he's describing this 12 miles. It's like you're crawling on the ground. You're going through water. You're doing this and that. There's even a portion of it where they have electric wires that you have to crawl under, and it zaps you every now and then. It's hooked up to the same stuff that they used to keep cows, inside of a – yeah, exactly, yes. And it's just the worst idea ever. And I'm like, what? Well, no, this is a terrible, terrible idea. And he's like, you're absolutely right. Let's do it. So we end up doing this Tough Mudder. And there was early on in the race, I was like, I don't know about this. I was like, oh, wow. But long story short, we got through it together. There's 4 of us, myself, Scott, Zelton, and Mike. And we got through that 12-mile course, and it was fantastic. And it kind of just this could have been really bad, but it ended up being great. This was fantastic. Like, yeah, let's get out there. Let's try a few things. Let's live some life. And I'm just watching television, and I see the show, And I'm like, yeah, we could do that too. So I bring up the idea to the guys, like, hey, let's apply for the show. And we start doing our research, and we're like, well, how do we even, like, do we build these obstacles? Are there gyms available? And we start, you know, searching on the internet, and we're trying to figure out, like, where can we go? And fortunately, there was a place in St. Louis that had these obstacles, so we went down there. And I thought, like, man, these guys are going to hate it. I hope they like it. It was the absolute best time ever. We're on the salmon ladder. We're on the warp wall. We're doing all this stuff. We're in our 30s at the time. And we just, like little kids were running around, like, oh, you got to try this. Now you got to try that. And we just had the most fantastic time. And then we started making the application videos. So we're putting in, like, oh, we totally got this. We're firefighters after all. And we put in an application video. Each of us put one in, and nothing. Didn't hear anything back. So we put in another one. And this one's even better than the last one. And nope, didn't hear anything back from that one. And then another one, and another one. And I finally put one in, and I was like, just by accident, as I'm editing the video, I kind of did this crazy little, how's it going, American Ninja Warrior? Like, kind of doing some weird stuff with the voiceover. And it worked really, really well. It had a great flow to it. I'm no video editor. I'm no, you know, I'm not, you know, no Academy Award winning director. But for 3 minutes, that application video, I was like, hey, that's not half bad. That's kind of good. And I actually got an email back from that application video saying, hey, we really love your video. We love your video. I still got the printout hanging out downstairs. And I was like, oh, this is fantastic. They needed some more photos. They needed some more information. It's like, you got it. Sent them the photos. And then nothing. Didn't hear anything back from them. And I was like, you know, you think that would be like a devastating moment, but I'm like, no, we are on the right track here. Like, something happened here. Like, my name came up at a meeting over there at the company that runs American Ninja Warrior, and somebody said, hey, I kind of like this guy. Let's send him an email. Let's get some more photos, and let's kind of pursue this a little bit more. And so I'm like, we are on the right track here. So then I did another video. We didn't hear back from them. And I was like, that's okay. Like, we're going to make an even better video next year. It was right around that same time that I ended up finding out, like, hey, they're actually filming 2 seasons of the show back to back. So your last application was actually not just for seasons 15, but it was also for season 16. And I was like, okay, so what that means is not only did I not get selected for season 15, I didn't get selected for 16 either. And they're like, that's right. So you're telling me it's going to be 2 more years before I get to apply again. And they're like, yeah, that's right as well. I'm like, gosh, dang it. And so, and it was like, why am I doing this? I probably should be, you know, investing my time in maybe something different. You know, why am I doing this? And, you know, just you kind of feel a little sorry for yourself, but you're like, that's okay. We're going to put in an even better video next year. And I called in some favors from the guys from the fire department and some other great friends of mine. And we put together what I think was just a really, really cool application video. If it just really highlighted, you know, the best aspects that I can display. And not only that, but also the city of Quincy and just how great this town is and how great being a firefighter and a drill sergeant is. And for 2 minutes and 52 seconds, that was the best video that, once again, I'm not much of a video editor, but within my capability of putting together just the best video that I could for 2 minutes and 52 seconds. And gosh dang it, we got the call, everyone. So big thank you to everyone here in the city of Quincy, to the fire department, to the Army Reserve. We finally did, everybody. 7 seasons of applying to get on this show, and we finally did. So a big thank you to everyone out there. I really appreciate it.
That is fantastic, and I think it also goes to show it's not just your physical prowess, but you have to have some entertainment value.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
most
people
certainly
want to see some craziness. They'll probably you'll have to go Hollywood. We'll learn all about it.
Yeah.
When does it premiere? When does the season start?
So they haven't given me the details quite yet, but it's going to be airing sometime in 2025.
Oh, we have to wait.
Yeah, the whole time that we're out there.
This is why I could never be on the show, because I can't keep my mouth shut until then.
Right,
I'd be back
right home.
No, I didn't win. Of course, I don't think too many people would be saying, Mary, did you win American Ninja Warrior? Well, anyway, congratulations to you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to actually talk about fire safety.
Yeah,
okay?
Sure. Sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds great. But we're very proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That is fantastic. And, you know, you've given hope to a lot of people to say, it's not just can you get on this show, because, I mean, that's ultimately a wonderful goal. But just working towards that goal has improved your life a lot. And I think sometimes we think that our failures sometimes can teach us more about ourselves and can vault us to success. Not giving up is what
exactly.
It's really all about.
Not giving up and then learning from your past mistakes and just, you know, sticking to it. You'd be amazed how far you can go if you just don't quit.
We'll be back in just a moment. We are back, and we are talking with firefighter Stephen Peters. He is an American Ninja Warrior. He has made the show for 2025, but he can't tell us anything else. And trust me, I've been trying to get it out of him. But we're going to talk a little bit about fire safety. This is Fire Prevention Month, Fire Safety Month. Quincy firefighters all this week have been going around and talking to the third graders and fifth graders. And you really want people to understand that what we do in our own homes could save our lives. So we don't have a lot of time, but talk a little bit about some fire safety tips as we head into the fall.
Yeah, sure. So being Halloween season, a lot of people like to have decorations out this time of the year, and my household is you know, different from anyone else's. But we just like to tell people just to be careful about things like that. We see a lot of dried flowers, a lot of corn stalks, things like that for decorations this year. And that's fine. Just be aware of it. Those can be potential fire hazards, okay? So don't put those in any areas where there's an ignition source or some kind of heat source that could potentially be an issue. And also, we don't want any kind of decorations to block an exit, okay? So just kind of, you know, take a little, you know, inventory of your house and look around and kind of see what might be potentially a fire hazard. So we like to be, you know, just have everyone take a moment and just kind of, you know, realize that some of these things could potentially be a fire hazard if they were to catch on fire. And another example that we like to give is, if possible, a lot of people like to have jack-o'-lanterns. You know, consider using a battery-powered candle instead of using a real candle. The battery-powered ones, you know, they last a really long time. They look fantastic. So we just like to recommend people to take safer alternatives this year.
The other thing, we had a story this morning, Steve Salrin was saying you cannot burn leaves openly.
That's right.
In Quincy. Be careful about that, because I know I served on the committee years ago that investigated that, and at that time 50% of fire calls in the fall were for leaf burns that got out of control, and that cost us a lot of money. It's not just that people could get hurt, and they could, but that the fact that every time the fire department rolls out of there in that big truck, you've got all your personnel, you've got the gasoline,
yep,
you've got everything. And so you're not allowed to do that in Quincy, so please do not do that. We are in a drought condition over most of the tri-state, so even if you don't live in the city of Quincy, don't be burning things outdoors because it could easily get out of control. When you go to the third and fifth graders, I'm really curious. I know the Friendly Monster program, at least that's what you used to call it. It's when you guys come in and you're doing a rescue, you've got these big capes over your heads, and you've got Darth Vader breathing apparatus
yep,
and everything,
yep.
And the kids are frightened by that. So you're showing them what that looks like, right, when you go to the school so that they know you're a friendly monster. Don't
exactly.
Hide under the bed. Don't run for me to the closet. Come to the Friendly Monster, and I will save you.
Yeah, so we try to implement that a lot in a lot of things that we do with these school-age children. So when we do tours at Central Fire Station, we bring them in, we're nice and polite, as you know, and we just kind of show them around the station, and we get them comfortable being around firefighters. We start them out just like, hey, you know, check out the fire truck, and oh, hey, by the way, this is where we eat, and this is where we sleep. And then the last thing that we do is we get our firefighting gear on, and it's the same person that started the tour is the same one that typically puts on the fire gear. So you say, hey, it's still me, Firefighter Steve. I'm going to show you my boots real quick. And I put on the boots, and, you know, I was like, oh, it's kind of weird, but like how the pants and the boots are all together in one assembly. And then you put on the boots, and you're like, hey, there's something kind of cool about these boots. Like, try stepping on my toes. You can't do it, can you? You can't crush my toes. And before you know it, every single kid wants to stomp on your steel-toed boots, you know, and they think that they're going to crush your toes, and they're just having a great time. And they think they're having fun, but what they are really doing here without them even knowing it is they're being comfortable being around firefighters, and they're taking that scary aspect out of it. And so then we put on the coat, and we put on the hoods, and we actually kind of use a little reverse psychology. We tell them, now, don't make fun of us. So if you tell a kid not to be scared, they're kind of smart. They'll be like, well, why should I be scared? So we tell them, now don't make fun of me, okay? I'm going to put on all this silly equipment. Don't make fun of me. And I tell you what, half the time you start putting on that stuff, they start laughing at you because kids are just, well, they're little kids. So,
and the reverse psychology, that's great.
Exactly.
You say, don't be afraid, and they're like, yeah, I am afraid. You told me not to be afraid, so now I am afraid.
Exactly.
That's super smart.
So we tell them not to make fun of us, and we put on the gear, and then we put on the air pack, and we're breathing off the air pack, and it has that sound to it. And instead of coming across as frightening, people think, the little kids now think that, hey, that's actually kind of funny. And so then we get on the ground and we're crawling around. And what we're doing is actually showing them what we kind of look like at a fire scene when we're crawling around. But we go around, we crawl around, we get high fives from all the kids. So if we were to teach them, you know, like, well, you should really be checking your smoke detectors, you know, every month, and you should be doing this and that, these little kids aren't going to remember a lot of those details. And we don't expect them to. But if we can get them comfortable being around firefighters, that's something that will really stick with them. So we just, a lot of this, bringing the fire safety house, having the tours at Central Fire Station, a lot of this is just getting kids comfortable being around firefighters. So that if there ever is an emergency at their house, instead of being the kid that hides under the bed, they're going to see those firefighters and be like, I remember those guys, and I'm going to go towards those guys if I ever need help.
Well, if there ever was a definitive description of a hero, he's sitting right in front of me. Steven Peters, Quincy firefighter and American Ninja Warrior. Thank you for everything you do to keep us safe. And remember, folks, so much of fire safety starts in your own home with things you can do to not start a fire and always have the means to put out a fire at your fingertips. Coming up, we're going to learn about Fishing for Freedom, a way to help our veterans unwind and relax on the Mississippi River. The fundraiser's coming up. We'll tell you all about it in just a moment. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We're 12 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour, and Kathy Palmer joins us. You might hear Kathy every once in a while on the morning show in her job with the Senior Center, helping to keep senior citizens safe and their housing needs met. But she also has a big passion for veterans and serving veterans, and she's responsible for the 10th annual Fishing for Freedom event that is coming up at a brand new location this year. Move it to a bigger and better location at the Adams County Fairgrounds. It's October 19th and 18th and 19th. And Kathy Palmer, welcome to the Mary Griffith Show.
Good morning.
Let's talk about this. You've moved out to the fairgrounds, which gives you more amenities, and hopefully you'll be able to serve even more people. So tell us about what's going to be happening.
So it is a two-day event. We're starting out on Friday night. You can bring your campers if you want to do something like that. We have full... Well, I shouldn't say full. We have water and electric hookups, and we have a dump station, so you can bring your camper out. There is a charge for that. You need to get a hold of me for that. We're going to have a band on Friday night, and we're going to do all of our setup on Friday, so we'll be out and about. And then on Saturday, it starts out early morning. We have a trap shoot early that morning, and then it rolls right into a full day of events, including 12 hours of music, food, fun, the fish, catfish poor boy sandwiches from Alan Grunewald and his crew will be there until they're served out. Drake's Steak and Ale will be there. We have a kids area. Tim Hart, which has been with us every single year, will start the day out. And then we go into four county band, and Staggered will close out the night. We have upwards of 200 silent auction baskets. We have multiple raffles. We have gun raffles. We have cooler raffles, barbecue grills. There's something for everybody.
It is fantastic. For years it was up in Meyer, and now you've moved it to the Adams County Fairgrounds. And again, a lot of people love to come to this. You've got more space now. You'll be able to accommodate more people. Mm. But the things people love, like the music and the catfish po' boys. Now, again, those are only available till they're sold out. So
that's right. Come early. I have them for breakfast.
Yeah.
As soon as Alan's, like, line them up, there's a line to get those. But they usually last a couple hours. A lot of times he starts serving at 11. But if you've never had one, it is a treat. He only does it, like, twice a year. for our event and an event in Warsaw. And when the fish is gone, the fish is gone. And it's not box fish. It's not something they've ran down to the store and bought. It's all Alan's fished it. He's cleaned it. He's dressed it. He's cut it for those sandwiches. And he's a commercial fisherman in his own right. And he's got a passion for veterans. Dave, that started the event, and him were best buds for many years. And that's he's followed through with us the whole 10 years.
What other food is available?
Well, we're going to have Drake's Steak and Ale, and they will have hot dogs and all that type of fair food that they have during the fair, which is Outback Grill also. Corn dogs, they have their tenderloins, curly fries, all that will be available.
Festival food, typical festival food, yeah.
Festival food, get your last, you know, this is probably it for the summer.
Yeah.
We're wrapping it up. If the weather turns off cool and we can't have stuff outside, we have the whole fairgrounds. We have capabilities of moving it in or out of whichever buildings we want out there. So lots and lots of stuff to buy, to donate, to come and see. We've got quilts from Marlene Beeler, which if you don't know who Marlene Beeler is, she shows quilts all over the United States, and she's been on every quilting magazine, I do believe, with her quilts and her talents, the Today Show. And we've got several of her quilts that she's donated to us, and they're all either nature or veteran themed that she's donating. So we have lots of ways to make money.
Lots of ways to make money, and they need to make money, and here's why. Fishing for Freedom is not October 19th and 18th. It is not October 18th and 19th at the Adams County Fairgrounds. No, it is the first weekend in June mm-hmm. on the banks of the Mississippi River and Mark Twain Lake and other places, private mm-hmm. lakes, that mm-hmm. these guys come. Who are these Fishing for Freedom veterans? Tell us about the event and why it's so critical that we raise this money.
Well, as a rule, they do not do their own fundraising. We are the largest fundraiser that supports them. They get donations and stuff like that, but to have a fundraiser of this magnitude, last year we made $42,100, and we're at like $268,000, and we said 10 years or $300,000, so we're going to hit all of that at once. But when those veterans come to Quincy, they don't pay for anything. They're wine, dined, fed, the whole nine yards. They're given a moment away from their normal life to enjoy a fishing tournament. Some of them have never been on the Mississippi. Some of them have never been in a boat to fish to enjoy themselves. And once they get to Quincy, we take care of them. We had over 200 veterans last year and about 180 boats. And next year, 2025, is the 15th year for Fishing for Freedom Quincy. There's other Fishing for Freedom throughout the country, but none of them are as large as we are in Quincy.
That's amazing. A small town like this puts on the biggest Fishing for Freedom. They're in their 15th year next year, and you can make it happen. They've got to raise at least $40,000. They hope to raise more than that, of course. Kathy Palmer is spearheading this, as she has done for so many years. And folks, the best way for you to participate is just come up. Be part of the bags tournament. Be part of the volleyball tournament. There's a trap shoot. They've got all kinds of raffle baskets, all kinds of fun things for the kids. Bring your pocketbook. Be prepared to throw down some cash or write a check, because it is that's what it is. It's a fundraiser for Fishing for Freedom, but it's also a day when you can go up and entertain yourself, sit in your lawn chair and just enjoy life. It's all a safe environment. The kids can kind of run around and do whatever they want. And like you said, you can move it indoors if you have to. Hopefully you won't have to, but there are indoor spaces on the fairgrounds.
Yeah, we have the entire fairgrounds. We have lots of volunteers. If you want to volunteer, we're always looking for extra help. We'll be up there on Friday setting up all day Saturday, and of course, tear down on Sunday. The more the hands, the lighter the work is what they have always said. And we always have people show up, but we could always use a few more, even if you can come for an hour. Come on up, spend the day, and it's check, cash, or Venmo. There's no ATM at the fairgrounds, so come prepared for that. But it is all about the veterans. If you want to make a sizable donation, it is, I can get you a tax write-off form. We can make it happen. Just give me a call. You can look at our event page. It's under my private Facebook page. But if you do 10th Annual Fishing for Freedom, a fundraiser, it will pop up. It's a picture of Chris Walbrink, myself, and Dave, and they were the ones that started it. Dave asked us to help him out, and that's
Dave Ellerich?
No. Dave Kleemeyer.
Dave
Kleemeyer.
There's so many people help the veterans. I can't keep all the Dave's.
Dave Kleemeyer. When this started, he just wanted to beat the Minden Lions Club, and here we are.
Nothing like some good competition.
It is, and that's all it was little elbow rub, I can outdo you kind of thing, and we did it. The first year we did $15,000, and we've done it, and we've done it every year since.
Okay, this year they hope much more than 40,000. Folks, help them out and help out Quincy's biggest event, one of the biggest events. Veterans all over the United States know about Quincy, Illinois because of Fishing for Freedom in June. But it can't happen in June. They can't pay for the hotel rooms. They can't pay for the meals. They can't put gas in the boats. They can't do anything. They can't have the banquet unless you go October 18th and 19th to the Adams County Fairgrounds and participate in the Fishing for Freedom fundraising event. For more information, call 217-740-4814. That's 740-4814. Or go to 10th Annual Fishing for Freedom and pull that up on Facebook, and you can't go wrong. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Mary.
Another great week has come to an end on the Mary Griffith Show. We have enjoyed it. Next week, on Monday, we'll talk with veterans. And then we've just got a whole week full of fun activities for you to enjoy. So please stay tuned and keep listening to WTAD. And we know that some of you are having trouble getting our early morning broadcast because of the power change situation with the FCC. So if you would like to hear the morning news at 6:15 or 6:45 or 7:14, you can go to our FM band, which is 103.3. It is the simulcast of what you hear on the AM 930 dial. Have a great weekend.